And our web editor, he is, of course, the one, the only, Jordan Tamayama, joining us in studio today. Of course, tonight, not only is it Game 2 of the Western Conference Final in the NHL, it's also, after what feels like a 16-day break, Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Golden State and the Boston Celtics. Jordan Tamayama joins us right now. JT, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just happy to be back in studio for the first time working in 2 years, 2.5 years. So
your pass to let you in the building, eh?
No, Patrick Dumas had to let
me
in.
Oh, sounds about right.
They haven't gave me a pass yet. So, but no, I'm happy to be here, and it's finally here, the finals, and I think it'll be a really good one. I hope.
You know, we talk about this a lot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know if it has a bigger effect in hockey as opposed to basketball. I think it probably does in terms of the wear and tear perhaps on the body, but in terms of this layoff, been a little bit longer for Golden State, but what does this do to this series, or how does it impact it for you?
I think it helps the Celtics that they had a few more days off just because Marcus Smart was banged up. Robert Williams, he's been injured too. So I think it helps the Celtics a bit more just to get a little more healthy. But the Warriors, they get some time off, just a few more days off, like the legs for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. And obviously they're the more veteran-laden team, but I think it just improves the quality just of the finals that not everyone's out. Because that Heat Celtics series, you never knew who was playing. They were all hurt. Kyle Lowry's hurt. Butler missed some games. So I think it's good for the NBA that you'll see both teams basically at full strength. No one's fully 100%, but just for quality of play and that the star players like Tatum and Steph Curry are healthy.
So it's a long layoff in between round three and the finals. And even during series, we're looking at every game except for games 3 and 4 in Boston, Jordan, holding 2 days in between. It's not something we're used to seeing in most sports, especially in basketball. It's a newer one. I don't expect you to have the answer as to why they're doing that, but the thought process behind it, is it... I don't love it myself. I think we should be going every other night, but... what are your thoughts on the NBA going 2 in between? Because we'll play tonight, and then we won't play until Sunday.
Yeah, it's. I think it's interesting. Like, obviously, in the past 2 years, they've been trying to cramp all the games in as fast as they can just to get back on schedule. But I think maybe for this series, it's just for the quality of play that they saw kind of what happened in the previous series, and maybe giving it. I'm not sure if like a day or two would actually help like a serious injury, but I think it just allows. Maybe for this, the drama to be extended a little more, and more rest means more healthy bodies. So I think that's the way the NBA goes. But I can kind of see in a way that if you're not a true NBA fan, you might get disinterested if like, oh, they don't play for another couple of days. But I think the star talent is what will keep people intrigued. And I think not that it'll be similar to LeBron versus Steph, but I think Steph versus Jason Tatum is enough for even a casual viewer to tune in. But yeah, you're right. The 2 days or the two, three days off between games, it's not the best for casual fans, but I think for overall quality play, I think it'll be much better.
Talk to me about matching up against Steph Curry. I think we'll probably see a lot of Marcus Smart in that position, one of the best defensive players in the league. You mentioned he was banged up, but you've heard him the last couple of days, media day yesterday. There was a guy that sounded really excited to take his first finals appearance head-to-head against Steph Curry. Plenty have tried to slow him down. Not many have been overly successful, especially when it comes to the finals. Talk about that matchup, how important it is for Boston, and how, I guess, do you see Smart being able to line up with Steph in this series? How do you see that going down?
Yeah, I think it'll be... well, even Steph and Marcus Smart kind of have that history together because Marcus Smart kind of rolled up on Steph Curry late season, and Steve Kerr kind of called him out for doing a non-basketball play. But Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, he'll obviously be guarding a ton on Steph. And I know people have, like, the whole league's trying to find the Steph Curry stopper. Like, Cleveland had it for one game when they had Matthew Dellavedova on it, but then Steph Curry, like, literally sent him to the hospital for dehydration that series. So no one's really been able to stop Steph. Like, at times, it's maybe this year that you've kind of seen the wear and tear on Steph too. Like, he's not going for those like 30 point or 25 point quarters, but he's just so smart. He's always moving. He's in incredible shape that this will be the key matchup along with probably Wiggins guarding Tatum that will, I don't, maybe not say decide the series, but will have a huge impact on who ends up winning their championship. But yeah, Steph versus Marcus Smart would be awesome.
What's kind of the formula that you see? Because I've always maintained that defending Curry, you need a guy with some length that can, you know, sort of get in the way of that shot arc for him. But at the same time, you just been keeping up with him is a whole other thing. And then any of those guys that have that length generally aren't running the floor like Steph is, or even making the kind of movements he is in the offensive zone. So you're immediately kind of screwed in that sense. Yeah. So it's kind of hard. You got to kind of find that. It's kind of like a linebacker that's able to cover on defense, right? You got to be able to tackle, but you got to be able to cover a guy too. And there's not many guys that hold that sort of unique mix, right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the fact that he just doesn't stop moving, Steph. He's just coming off screens.
I'd love to see his step counter after a game, because it's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. So if you were looking at like ideal guards, it would be Marcus Smart. Fast, physical. But also, if you're physical in today's NBA, you might get a foul. So I think that that would be the biggest test for Marcus Smart, is that he doesn't get foul trouble. And he's kind of goes to that Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul grifting school of he'll run and stop, and then you'll run into him, and he'll get a foul. So Marcus Smart is kind of maybe not ideal, but the closest you can get to, like, you can guard him one-on-one. You don't have to send a double. And especially with the Warriors and their shooters, like, it's so hard to double that there will be a ton on Marcus Smart this series, and I'm really interested to see if he can manage his fouling and also be able to contribute offensively, because they need that too. But Steph versus Marcus Smart, I think that'll be a really fun matchup. Like I said, if Marcus Smart can stay out of foul trouble, I think they'll be okay. But Steph, he just puts so much pressure on the defense. They always talk about gravity, how, like, when he's on the court, the defense just shifts to him. So, and all that talk about, especially that Steph Curry's never won finals MVP, and how it's like keeping out of like the top 10 NBA players, like, Steph Curry changed the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he's not like 6'9 and can dunk on you, but he's the best shooter of all time. And the fact that if he can add that to his resume, I think it solidifies it even more. But I think it's crazy when people say that one award is keeping him out of being like top 10, top 5. But I'm really interested to see if that will motivate him. Not that he needs the motivation to win a championship, but kind of to prove the haters wrong and that he can win a championship, and that he can win a championship without Kevin Durant, because that's also been a knock on him. But I really hope that he lights it up, because I think he's one of the most fun players to watch in history. And just to add that to his resume would be really cool.
Yeah, kids throwing up threes now and learning how to shoot the long ball because of Steph Curry and how it's changed the NBA and, you know, it's made it a, I can't remember who exactly said it, but, you know, it's become a 3-point league.
Oh, right? Yeah, there's no set plays anymore, man.
That's what it is. It's
dribble and shoot.
Well, I mean, even if it is a set play, it's to draw in a defender so that you can kick it out to somebody to shoot the three, right? I mean, guys, even you mentioned Matthew Dellavedova. I mean, there's guys that now, you know, maybe had really limited roles for smaller guards because their main thing was shooting, maybe a bit of defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's opened it up for teams to bring in guys. And now maybe most, if not all, teams carry a guy that's, you know, a lethal long-range shooter just because of that?
Well, even, like, whether it be high school in Canada or in the NBA, if you can't shoot the three ball, you're probably not playing.
Like, yeah.
Like, there's very rare, like, Kevon Looney on the Warriors. He doesn't shoot the three, but he sets up the three. But pretty much in any team now, if you can't shoot a three at around 30 to 35%, then you're probably not getting on the floor unless you're doing one thing extremely well. But you have to be so versatile, and Steph's changed that. Like, he's made people been that you have to be dynamic. You have to be able to shoot the ball, because obviously that's the goal thing. You score more points than other team, and any coach anywhere would rather a guy that can knock down a three than maybe that he's an average 2-point shooter. Like, you can play your way on a team if you can shoot the ball.
Just want to reset to let everyone know that we're listening to Jordan Tomiyama joining us live in studio. NBA Finals Game 1 tonight. We'll have more focus on hockey and the Western Conference Final. Of course, Game 2 can be heard live right here on Sportsnet 960 this evening. as the Oilers and Avalanche do battle in Game 2 from Denver, and we'll see what Game 2 has in store after 14 goals in Game 1. Just on the Steph Curry and Golden State Warrior front, it's hilarious how, you know, how much his presence has changed that franchise too. I mean, when we were growing up, and even, I mean, for a lot of people listening, I know they won the finals in the 70s, I believe, one time in 75, but this is a team and a franchise that was, like, one of the worst in the league forever. And now, here they are. This is their sixth trip to the NBA Finals. They, of course, went 5 years in a row, and Jordan likely would have won four in a row had it not been for that unbelievable comeback from LeBron in Cleveland. So, you know, just in general, you know, what this franchise is. We've talked so much in sports about dynasties. I know they had, obviously, the last couple of years when they're building back up and had injuries to some pretty key players. And, you know, no one's going to remember the 1920 season when they won 15 games. But this is a dynasty. There's no question about it. And it's pretty cool to watch, that, you know, to think in 15, 20 years when we look back, it's going to be, I think, appreciated more what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And even, like, since he's been there and they've built that amazing stadium that is funded by the owner. Like, I just looked up, they're worth $5.5 billion. And if you said that before Steph Curry drafted,
it would have been worth maybe $55,000.
Yeah, sure. I'm kidding. Like, but the way he's changed that franchise, and he's probably one of the most likable dudes in the NBA. Like, it's hard to find a reason to hate him. The only reason to hate him is that he's really good at basketball and he shimmies sometimes. But they are a dynasty, and like, when they were first coming up, like, some of that basketball they played, even pre-Kevin Durant, was just some of the most fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Ball movement, passing, rather than watching an ISO.
Oh, it was the Splash Brothers, right?
Like, they just took over the NBA, and like, even Charles Barkley was like, a jump shooting team will never win the championship. Well, almost any team that wins now is a jump shooting team. Like, when they were Kevin Durant, they were probably the most unfair team. They were amazing, and what Steph Curry has done for that franchise is probably maybe unmatched. I'm trying to think of maybe, obviously, like a Wayne Gretzky changing it, but the way he's changed the culture of that team from being like irrelevant, kind of like the Kings, like they were like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. irrelevant, didn't have anyone, and they've drafted really well, and they've surrounded Steph with obviously future Hall of Famers, but it's all been in-house and how they've drafted it, which is one of the cooler ways they've built the team. And then the 2 years they added probably one of the best players in the world, and Kevin Durant, they just won two championships. So I just think they are a dynasty, and it's cool to see them back. And who knows, if Steph Curry and that core have 2 or 3 years and they can add a piece, then yeah, they'll be around for a long time.
As a coach yourself, can you appreciate, I know that everyone talks about, you know, they don't play and this team is pretty stacked, and you mentioned the homegrown talent, but can you still appreciate the coaching job Steve Kerr's done?
Yeah, he's been amazing. Like, he's taken a lot of heat.
Does he get enough love, I guess, is what I'm trying to say?
Probably not, just because of the talent that team has. They just think that he rolls the ball out there. But it's pretty clear that he's a glue piece, and they know what he wants, and he knows how to get the most out of them. And, like, he did take heat during, obviously, 2 years ago when they were awful. But I think he's never lost a Western Conference playoff series. And not many coaches can say that, and his record speaks for itself. Like, I personally thought he made a mistake when he went to the Warriors instead of the Knicks at that time, just because the Warriors were they had high expectations. They had good years before, but look where the Knicks are and look where the Warriors are right now. So I just think he doesn't get enough credit, and he's one of the best coaches of all time, and the record, you can't argue against it.
He kind of reminds me of John Cooper.
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay, right? That there's a skill in coaching teams like that have a lot of talent. And it's maybe not as much of the X's and O's, because those guys get it. But it's managing sometimes personalities and minutes and strategies and, you know, a lot of the other stuff that comes along with it. That's kind of where I always have seen Steve Kerr the last couple of years. I wanted to ask you about the Celtics, the other side of this. They're an interesting story, too.
I guess there's another team.
There is another team, yes. A very storied franchise. Long, you know, you put them up there with the Lakers and the Bulls and, you know, these kind of teams that you think of, iconic NBA franchises that had plenty of years in the spotlight themselves. You know, funny that this now feels like the turnover from Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. And, you know, ironically that these draft picks have turned into these guys. If you don't know or aren't aware of, you know, how that Nets trade with the Celtics years ago worked out so well now for Boston to turn into guys, you know, like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and all that sort of stuff. How do you see Boston in all this? Because is this the start of something? Is this, you know, their peak moment? Because we've been kind of waiting for these guys to push through, and they've run into the Raptors, and they've run into some other teams, and they haven't been able to do it. And everyone's questioned, you know, is this the right group to go forward with? Do we need to trade a Smart? Do we need to, you know, maybe bring in a different piece? Because they weren't getting to this point. Yeah. They've always been a good team. I don't think anyone's ever doubted that. But did they have the whatever it is, that X factor to make it to this point? And it's been a pretty cool story because it's been probably not the greatest run in Boston the last couple of years. They've got high expectations there.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes down to even like Brad Stevens. Like Brad Stevens, they were saying, is like the next Phil Jackson, like one of the best coaches of all time. And I think he honestly kind of put his pride aside, and he stepped aside, and he's like, he said he was tired, but he's like 35 or so, 37. You're not tired at that age. But he stepped aside and let Udoka take over, because I think he realized that sometimes when you're a coach for that long, that the star players tune you out, and he wasn't getting the most out of them. And then he stepped aside and he brought in Udoka. And like the Celtics in the beginning there, they were saying trade everyone. You got to decide between Tatum. You got to decide between Brown and Tatum. Who's going to be the guy? And then they just went on a run and were one of the best teams, or one of the best defensive teams in the whole league. And as a Raptors guy, like the Celtics make me mad, but Jason Tatum's a star and he's proven it. Like he went head to head with KD, Giannis. Like he went head to head with all these guys, Jimmy Butler, and proved that he's that dude. And I think they're a really interesting team, how they're built. They added Al Horford, who the OKC Thunder just said, stay home. We'd rather not play than even be here. And he's been an impact guy. And how they're, like I said, how they're built and what they have is star players. Like you have Tatum, you have Brown, and you have Smart. And they figured out how to play all together. And I think that's really impressive. And if they keep this core together and maybe add one more, maybe they get luck in a draft pick, I think they're going to be a real tough team to beat for years to come in the Eastern Conference. And maybe this experience will even help them even more, making it to the finals. But like you said, yeah, the Celtics, they kind of went through almost similar to the Raptors. Like, do we blow it up? Not blow it up, but do we trade?
Change the pieces.
Yeah. Do we do that? Do we do this? And then, honestly, they just kind of kept it moving. And they just decided that this is who we're going to run with. And Udoka did a really awesome job and bringing them all together. And I think it's a unique matchup, and I think it'll be really fun to watch.
Who you got?
I'm going to go Warriors in six.
Six, huh?
Yeah, I just think with their talent and
Warriors in four.
And their
bold strategy.
And I don't know how healthy the Celtics will be all series, so yeah. I'll go for Warriors in six.
For those wondering, just circling back, I mean, Steve Kerr's coaching record's ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
429-200 in the regular season, and 89-32 in the playoffs.
Yeah. But if you take out that bad year they have, it would be
even better.
And it's not even his fault. There's injuries and so much else going in on it. Like
50 of those 200 losses in that one season.
Yeah, and they're bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were bad at a good time. Like the draft class last year was insane. And those guys they drafted would be rotation players on any other team, and they're like filler guys for the Warriors. So
That being said, has this been like kind of the perfect NBA fit for Andrew Wiggins?
Perfect. Yeah.
Because he's not necessarily the guy.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, like he's been, like he was a starter in the NBA All-Star game. He can defend, he can shoot the three, and he just does what they ask him, and he doesn't have to score 30 a game. He just has to make sure that, and he guards the best player, like he'll guard Tatum or Brown. So you have a guy that's NBA All-Star starter, and he's like your fourth option, which is kind of insane. But yeah, I think he's been a perfect fit, and I know he didn't sign on for like the 3-year commitment with Nick Nurse for the Team Canada, but Hopefully he can come for some of those events in the Olympics.
He certainly would be a nice piece for Canada basketball. There's no question. Tonight, 7 o'clock, it's Golden State and Boston from the West Coast. Game one of the NBA Finals. And Jordan, thank you for this, sir.
Oh, no problem. It's
fun to be on. We'll see if we can get Jordan in tomorrow for some other just quick notes on a gambling side of things. And certainly if you're, you know, 14 goals in game one, like, are you still hammering the over tonight?
I think so. It's at 7. I don't think I've seen a...
Is it 7 or 7.5?
Oh, I checked on one sports book. It said 7. So 7 is a lot, but
I mean, you kind of have to though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Like, and you're cheering for something fun too. And that first game was
that's half of what they got last game.
It's
that's literally half of what they got last time.
It's still 7, by the way.
Yeah, I've got it 7.
The Avalanche are also favored by a goal and a half. So if you want to take that or go money line, you got some pretty good value in the Oilers on the money line. If you're so dangerous, but
backup goalie for Avs too. So
Darcy Kuemper not going to play in game 2 this evening. He is Jordan Tamayama. He's Logan Gordon.